Rick, there is news this week that the nation's gross domestic product shrank in the first quarter, marking the first downturn since early 2011.
Right. But as you look at the numbers and the reason for that shrinkage, and as you say, it went from positive 0.1% GDP growth was the initial estimate, the preliminary estimate for GDP growth for quarter one 2014 over quarter one 2013. But the reason it's down 0.2% and went to negative 0.1% is actually because businesses didn't accumulate as many inventories. And so that's actually a good sign. It's a healthy sign going forward. Businesses keep a certain amount of inventory. You know, if you go to the grocery store, you don't want them to keep more than, 3 days inventory of bananas, for example. But a car dealer might keep 60 days worth of sales on the lot. And so when inventories are being depleted, which is what was happening here, that, you know, as businesses build things, they effectively sell them to themselves until the final consumer purchases that banana or that car. So the fact that inventories were declining, which is counted as part of production inventories, that's actually positive going forward because it means that businesses have run down their inventories. They're going to need to up production next quarter. And so if you have to have a slightly negative GDP growth rate, then this is the best reason to have it. So yes, it was down, but no, it's not serious.
There's been a lot of discussion, changing subjects now, about the minimum wage. And you, this week, were part of a public forum entitled A Living Minimum Wage. Talk about your presentation.
Sure. That was sponsored by the Pensacola Coffee Party and by the League of Women Voters, and four folks on the panel. The fellow represented the AFL-CIO, Robin Richard, always does a fine job, Rick Outson with the Independent News. And I actually spoke in favor of an alternative to the minimum wage. That's because when you put a minimum wage out there and raise it, it raises the cost of hiring low-skilled workers, raises the cost to businesses because they have to pay them more. And so if the objective is to alleviate poverty and the suffering that comes along with being impoverished, then why not lower the minimum wage but give people who show up to work every day and get a W-2, even if it's for only a few dollars an hour, give them a tax credit, earned income tax credit. We currently have that program, but it's paid annually. There's an income cap of, I think it's around $35,000, and they pay it to people with children. Why not make that program one that shifts the burden of financing expenditures, buying food and clothing and shelter, shifts it off of the workers and the businesses that hire them and onto the general tax revenue of the U.S.? Because as you look at the sources of tax revenue for the U.S. government, the overwhelming bulk, over 80% of tax revenue to the federal government comes from the personal income tax, which in the U.S. is structured so that the more you earn, the higher a percentage of your income you pay. Now, obviously, there are some things that are just plain wrong, such as hedge fund managers getting to count their income as if it were capital gains that enjoy a lower tax rate. So there are a bunch of things that need to be done to clean up the tax code. But basically, if we could shift the burden of providing people with a living income, shift it off of getting up and going to work in the morning, which is what we do now. We tax the heck out of going to work in the morning because there's FICA. There's unemployment insurance that has to be paid. Soon there will be health care if the individual mandate stays in place. There's a minimum wage. All of those things raise the cost to businesses of using labor. And there are substitutes available that businesses can use. If you're at a fast food restaurant, you can replace the scrubbable screens in your deep fat fryer with a filter that doesn't have to be screened. It's a more expensive piece of equipment, but it doesn't require labor to use it. You can turn the cash register around so that your customers punch in their orders, saving on a couple of folks that would be counter help. And so there are substitutes available. So what we ought to be doing to alleviate the burden of poverty is shift that burden onto general income tax, which is very progressive, actually, in the U.S. It's much more redistributionist. When we talk about Walmart needing to either raise prices or use, billions of dollars in subsidy encouraging their workers to apply for Medicaid, et cetera. Well, if you look at Walmart raising prices, it's lower income and medium income people that are going to shop at Walmart and pay those higher prices. And so why not put the burden onto the federal income tax and pay an earned income tax credit? Because most of that will be borne by upper income people who pay more income tax. So that was my suggestion. It was not broadly accepted by the audience or by my fellow panelists, but I think it's the right thing to do.
Let's move on now, Rick, to the Memorial Day holiday weekend. What figures do you have to indicate how well it went? Give us a little snapshot.
Well, you know, those of us who had staycations here in town know that it was a beautiful Memorial Day weekend. Great weather. Lots of yard work got done around town. I think people still cleaning up from the great inundation and all the damage that caused. But the initial look at some of the tourism statistics, kind of a mixed bag. Actually, bridge crossings were down to the beach for Memorial Day 2014 relative to 2013.
And we're speaking specifically about Pensacola Beach
in this case. That's right. Mm-hmm. So where our vacationers will go and cross the bridge and be recorded as they pay their toll. So traffic was down, not a trivial amount, just over 5% down from last year, but there could be any number of reasons for that. So while I wouldn't say that it was a weak weekend, it doesn't seem that it's going to be one of our stronger Memorial Days on record. So mixed bag thus far for tourism.
Well, hold it there, Rick. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandra.
You can hear the Economic Report Fridays. I'm Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.